Amen. Good morning. Trust and pray everybody is doing well. We want to welcome you to Central Baptist Church in the house of the Lord as we prepare to go into Christmas time. Well, what a wonderful time of the year as we celebrate the birth of our Savior. Look at somebody, give them a wave, give them a nod, a smile that is warm and welcoming that says, I am so glad that you are here today, and trust that God's going to do some incredible things. If you're part of our online audience today, be sure to say hello to our very own, the one and only Dr. John Cazito, who takes care of our online folks back there. Yeah, give John a wave back there. He has always done just a fantastic job. But we always want our online audience to know that you're a part of us as well, and that there's somebody there that is listening to you. If you have any questions, you can always put them in there. Be sure to say hello to one another there. We greet each other here. You greet each other online with one another. It's just a joyous time to be able to live in the opportunities that we have to be able to get the message out, to get the word out. Before we get started today, we want to take a moment because I know that next Sunday is Christmas. I know a lot of people have asked. We will not be having Sunday school, but we will be having our 10:45 worship service next Sunday on Christmas Day. But don't forget, we're also going to be doing our Christmas Eve communion. And let me make sure I got this right, 6 and 6:30. We will be doing a communion. Now, that is just a time for you to drop by here, for us to pause in the midst of the Christmas season to truly remember why we celebrate Christmas. Now, I know sometimes people say, well, yeah, I've got family coming in from out of town. Bring them. Yeah, you're not going to put them up there and torture them for an hour or something listening to me. We just simply come in and just for probably 10 to 15 minutes, we'll have a communion service at 6, and then there'll be a little bit of a break at 6:30. We will do another one. If you have family, bring them. It's a come-as-you-are thing. Nobody has to dress up and have a coat and a tie and all that because we realize what's taking place. We realize what's going on. It's Christmas, but it gives us that moment to pause to remember why we truly celebrate Christmas. So we invite you to be with us on that. That is on Christmas Eve. 6 o'clock or 6:30. You don't come to both of them. Just pick one. 6 or 6:30, and then we will be having our Christmas Day service on Christmas Day. No better place to be than the house of the Lord on His birthday. We're gonna come have a birthday party with Him. So we will be here next Sunday morning at 10:45. Along the way, we want to take this moment as a church to pause for just a moment as we get started to remember some folks around here, around our church that are behind the scenes folks. Some of them you see, some of them you do not see, but it takes each and every one of them to effectively do what we do at Central Baptist Church. And we want to just give them a little Christmas gift on behalf of the church, but give you a chance also, you know, to see them, to see who those folks are. So one of those is the one who has been our organ player for many, many years. I want to take just a moment to recognize Donna. I'm not going to ask you to come over here. I will come over to you. Give Donna a hand if you would. Thank you. We appreciate all that Donna has done for us over the years and even now. Now, like I say, you know, a good organ player always has to have a good piano player. And another one who has always been there is our own Vicky. Let's give Vicky a hand, if you will. We love you, girl. We appreciate you. Vicky changed all kinds of things. I guess if I would. Do it that way. How's it? Is that you now? That's Vicky. Hey, we're high speed, low drag around here, aren't we? Well, another one that is essentially part of our music department that has done such a wonderful job over the years, who has stepped in and done some incredible things, and you had a chance and an opportunity by which to see him today. He keeps our brass together. That is Jim Kreider. Jim, thank you so much, buddy. Good job. Like I say, there are a lot of moving parts and pieces to make all these things move. And you know, for those of you who may be watching at home right now, or you see the live stream, or you see any of the video type productions that happen, the Wednesday Bible study, our live service, that takes somebody to work on and run those things. Even now, as we speak, our studio is actually in the other building. It is upstairs. They are watching and monitoring from there. They have the feeds that are up that are live. All I see are little red or green dots on the two cameras that we have, and then they operate those. But just to recognize our video department, and guys, I know that you're listening to me up there. I'll see you after the service, but I want to recognize Wesley Hamm, who is one of our camera operators. Give Wesley a hand. And also Don Wright, who does so many different things with our audiovisual. Don is also over in the other building, and then also one who kind of goes with both of the different things, who does audio as well as video, and that is Tim Worf. Tim does audio. He does our Wednesday evening Bible study. Tim, come on up here. I'll let Tim come up here. Tim is the one who actually gets with me during the week in our studio to be able to shoot the Wednesday Bible study. He puts that together and then has it there so you guys can see that along the way. Tim, thank you for all you do, buddy. We really appreciate you. And then also, I would be remiss if I didn't remember the one who has done our audio for many, many years around here through programs, through thick and thin, and choir practice, and so many other things. That is our very own Ernie Wall. Let's recognize Ernie, if you would. See, that's what happens when you're in the building. We make you come down here so everybody can look at you for a minute and get a chance to see you. Because, like I say, a lot of these folks are behind the scenes folks that so often you don't see. But without them, let me put it to you this way: when things go bad for them, we notice it, right? When it goes good, you don't notice it. So the idea is that you don't notice there's anything. But thanks, Ernie, for all that you do. Let's give all of our support staff a hand this morning. Thank you so much. Thank you, buddy. We really appreciate all that they do. There is no way that we would be able to do what we do in the manner in which we do it without these folks being there and being a part of our church. And I know that there are times that there's frustration. I know that there are times when you want to just sling something across the room. But nonetheless, these guys have hung in there. They've hung tight, and we appreciate them so very much. So at any rate, we want to just say a very, very special thank you along the way to each and every one of them. We're grateful for who they are. We're grateful for what they do. Once again, how about showing them our appreciation? Anytime a lady approaches me and says this, that means something to me. That means get out of the way. This is Marcia Wall. Marcia is our chairman of the personnel team, so I will yield to Miss Marcia.
Okay. He didn't know this was coming. So I would like Brad to come up and Pastor Roy and Pastor David. We appreciate them so much for all they do for us. And hope that you all have a very Merry Christmas, and that the new year brings everything you need and want through God. And we appreciate it. Thank you.
We have enjoyed the opportunity to be able to serve the Lord and to be able to serve the Lord right here. David and I think have been together for almost 20 years. I believe we're approaching 20 years that we've had the opportunity to serve here together. He came right after me, so I think you're starting year 20. Starting year 20. So that's a rare thing. I think the average stay of a pastor is 3 to 5 years. in a church now, and we're grateful that we have the opportunity to have the staff that we have and the support staff that we have. So, again, we're so grateful for them. And also, don't want to forget, Marcia mentioned to me as well, Debbie Sullivan. Debbie, who is our secretary, we appreciate all that she does. She is recovering from hip surgery and actually is back sooner than expected. I think she was bored at home, and she said, well, I guess I can come put up with Roy and David for at least a half a day along the way. But at any rate, let's thank our staff, guys. Thank y'all so much for all that you do. We appreciate you. Now with that, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our worship today. Father, as we come to you today, we truly are grateful for the opportunities that you give us by which to come together, Lord, to lift up your name. Father, there are so many places around this world that do not have that privilege that we have as we're gathering here this morning to do so in freedom and without persecution. And Father, I pray that you will just help us to truly understand the privilege that you have given us as your children. Lord, I pray that as we get together today, that you will help us, Father, to put anything aside that would hinder us from hearing or knowing what it is that you want us to hear today from the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit moves and works in our lives through every aspect of worship that we do, Lord, through our songs, through our prayers, through getting into your word together. Lord, speak to our hearts. Win the lost. Draw the wayward to you as only you can. And Lord, we'll praise you for it as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now as you know that we're in a season that is a beloved season of not only Christmas, but in our church and a lot of churches all across the world, one of the very special things that we do around Christmas time is that we collect the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Lottie Moon, if you're not aware, was a missionary to China who essentially gave her life. I mean, she starved to death on her way back to America after all those years because her heart was there with the people of China. And everything she had, she gave and did for them. So the offering that we take for international missions, that means anything outside of North America, and that's our North American's our Easter offering. International is the offering that we take at Christmas, our Lottie Moon offering. So that's places throughout the world that puts our missionaries, Southern Baptist missionaries, on the field to give them the tools that they need by which to share the gospel and reach the region that the Lord has burdened them with. All this money goes to them. 100% of it goes to them. So what we do is we each year as we lead into Christmas, we take our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We want to let you know that there are special envelopes. If you don't have a special envelope and there's one in the pew, you can write Lottie Moon on it. We'll make sure that it gets there. Once again, please don't take away from your tithes and offerings to do this. Your tithe and offering goes to the storehouse. Anything above that, like Lottie Moon, is considered a gift, an offering. That's why we don't just say that because it sounds good. Lord, bless us as we return to you the tithe and the offering. They're two different things. Lottie Moon is an offering, and we pray that we will have an opportunity to reach that goal, that others may come to know our Lord and Savior because of our faithfulness by which to do that. So we always want to let folks know a little bit about our Lottie Moon missionaries. So we have a video we'd like to show for you right now.
I never dreamed to go to another city. I never dreamed to go to another country. I never dreamed to learn to talk another language, but God made possible. When I was 11 years old, my family was very poor. I used to work in the street selling things. One day my dad took my money because he was alcoholic. He had three more families. So I made my own prayer. I said to God, you want to be my father? I need you here. I need you here. I had a trouble in my teens because with my family, and I ran away from home. And we had a program with the IMB missionaries running the call Tele Amigo. So I went to that place because I had trouble with myself. I want to kill myself. And they really give me all the support and prayer for me. I met a missionary called Barbara Rivers. She was putting some pictures and video of the five American missionaries where they were killed in Ecuador by the Indians in the jungle. When I saw the picture on the face of the missionaries, I started crying. And I said to Lord, I do nothing, only going to church. And these people came far away from their own country and died because of love of our people. So and I said to the Lord, here I am, I want to be a missionary. Missionaries like Barbara Rivers, it was a model, a very real model. I learned how to go places where there's nothing and start something. So I realized not only Ecuador I need to be saved, but everywhere. So I became pray for India. I was the first Latino to go. I worked for 12 years. One thing God told me, to preach the gospel, not to be locked in my house. If I want to be locked in my house, I stay in my country. I came back from India. The IMB missionary received me, Guy Mills and Linda, and a friend from Guatemala. He told me, the Lord take you back to Latin America to not be just one Julieta, sino hundreds of Julietas. Send Latinos to the nations. And after that, starting Impacto Mundial. We do mobilization, training, and sending missionaries to the nations. I believe we are global Christians. Jesus told us to go to the nations, to preach to everyone and everywhere and every time. My dream is to see every church be mobilized to become a missionary church. This is my dream.
My thanks to all the instrumentalists and choir folks, all the people in choirs and ensembles and soloists, and I do invite you to hear this evening at 6 o'clock where everybody comes together. We've been working on this for quite a while, so I do hope you'll be able to come this evening at 6, and please bring friends and family, and then also we'll have finger foods afterwards. So thank you so much for everybody and all your work. Please stand with me as we sing "Oh Come All You Faithful," number 89.
Thank you. Oh,
thank the ladies' ensemble for doing such a beautiful job and sharing with us in song today. You know, there's an old expression that says, knowledge is power. How many of y'all have ever heard that before? Knowledge is power. But knowledge without application becomes useless trivia. How many of y'all have ever heard useless trivia before? You know what I'm talking about. You're sitting there thinking, well, you know, okay, that was great. That's a fascinating point. It has absolutely nothing to do with anything whatsoever. Well, you know, I was sitting there thinking about the knowledge today, and what a blessing it is just to even have the opportunity to be here. As a few moments ago, I had an opportunity to recognize those that were support staff and then the folks that we have the opportunity to serve with. I've thought about how Satan has just been so trying to keep things from going God's way for so long. And what a joy it was just to even sit back, even after we've had those opportunities to look and to talk and to think about what's happened even over the past year, you know, what Donna's been through, you know, almost not knowing whether she was going to be around, but she's still here. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Vicky having battles with COVID and some other issues along the way. David having kidney stones that they still hadn't quite got solved yet. I turn around and have a stroke just to keep everybody on their toes. I mean, it's just been pretty amazing what God has done in the midst of all that, because we're stubborn enough to still be here beating on it, and we praise the Lord for that. Today we want to look at some wise men. Now, most of us know this story. We've seen it from the time that we were young all the way up until now. But I want to point out the two different sets of wise men. If you have your Bible, we're going to be looking at the passages out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. And once again, this is familiar. When we get into these times of the year, these are familiar stories to us. But there's something I want us to consider and something I want us to understand when it comes down to viewing the wise men, okay? Now, I didn't say the Magi. I think sometimes that's why there's a delineator in there. We're going to view the Magi and the wise men. Now, some of y'all are sitting there going, where's he going with this? Well, bear with me for just a moment and you'll see. Look with me at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we ask that you would speak to our hearts. We pray, Father, that as we focus upon you, that you above all things would be heard in our midst. Lord, we know that times are busy. We know, Father, that there are things that are going on in our hearts and minds that could distract us from the Holy Spirit moving in our hearts today. So we ask, Father, that you would help us to put those aside, that we might truly, for these few moments, just concentrate upon you. Lord, bless our time. Bless me as your speaker for these moments as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I won't belabor the point very long with you this morning, but like I say, y'all are sitting here thinking, well, this is all stuff that I've seen before. I've been in church all my life. I've heard the Christmas story. I've watched the plays. I've been a part of them, and I've seen, you know, what is taking place. Now, as we begin these particular passages, it talks about, behold, wise men. In verse 1, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. These are the ones that we know of. These are the ones that we always see in the plays, riding the camels that are bringing the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. And these are the ones that we always tip our hats to and say, look at these guys, man. Look at how dedicated they must have been. But there's something I want you to understand about two classifications of wise men that we see in our passage today. All right, first of all, they're the wise men that actually sought Jesus, the magi that you know of, the ones that presented the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. It's ironic that when we begin to look at it, we don't have the history as to what it was that got their journey started, other than the star, okay? You know, how was it that it was all put together that they were in search of a Savior? Well, obviously, they must have known something about the Scripture. The wise men were also considered to be those who were astrologers, and they saw something in the stars that were completely different. You know, I think it was last year, I can't remember, but they talked about, you know, how the star, based on where it was going to be, was going to have a presence. And I actually saw, how many of y'all remember that? I think it was like last year around this time, the Christmas star they were talking about. I saw a NASA picture of the Christmas star when it came out that night. And it looked exactly like what you would see that's made and you hang over, like, you know, in the lights that hang over the stable when we do the nativity scenes and all that thing. I thought, well, that was pretty cool, man. Whoever got that, you know, did it right, because that's what it looks like. So anyway, these wise men started a journey. They didn't know how long it would take. They didn't know exactly where they were going. All they knew was that they were following a star. I believe they understood what the Old Testament prophets had prophesied, that there would be a coming Messiah. Now, so many people get a great start, don't they? I mean, I know that there are times that you and I, even as believers, can remember the great start we had when we first trusted Christ, when we were at our peak of trusting Him and serving Him, and things were good. And then we've hit those mountaintops, but then all of a sudden we've hit some of those valleys below, haven't we? And it's easy to praise the Lord on the mountaintop. It's a little tougher when you're in the valley below, isn't it? Now, here's something I want us to understand about the wise men. I believe that they understood what the Old Testament Scripture had prophesied, because when they actually came, you know, into the city, they went to the palace, and remember, they went to Herod's palace, and what did they ask? It says, look in verse 2, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? They were in search of the Savior, based on the prophecies that they had heard throughout the Old Testament. You know what the problem was? They had gotten off track. Now think about this for a minute. These are smart guys. They didn't have Garmin or TomTom or Google Maps. They were following the star based on the prophecy, but at some point, they stopped following the star, didn't they? Because they arrived at the wrong location. Think about it for a moment. How many times do we get a good start and then we do something, and I love how it's been stated to me before. Yeah, so there were times in my life when people, whether it was supervisors with the police department or whatever, said, Roy, don't grow a brain. Don't start doing that. Don't start thinking. This is the way this works. Now, you notice that what happened was the wise men, at least at some point, got off track. And they got off track and they started thinking for themselves. Now, I don't know at what point, apparently, based on the Scripture, they had lost track of the star. Think about it. And how do I know that? Because there was a Scripture that says that when they left, they saw the star again. When they left Herod's place. So evidently they must have lost track of the star. So they kept saying, where'd that road go? What do we do now? Where do we go from here? And then one of these wise men started thinking for himself. At least one of them did. You know what he said? Well, if we're looking for a king, where would you find a king? in the palace. And therefore, that's how they arrived at Herod's palace. We're looking for a king. That's where a king would be. King would be in the palace. They were completely off track, weren't they? They weren't too far off track, but just enough that they arrived and showed up at the wrong place. Now, it's ironic that as they went there and they asked, they went to the palace and asked. That's a pretty bold move, if you ask me. You go into Herod's palace asking where the new king is and the old king is still there. Notice what verse 3 said. It says, when Herod the king heard this, because they said that they had followed the star. Look at verse 2. Let's go to verse 2. It says, where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all of Jerusalem with him. Now, so far we have been talking about the wise men that you think of. The three that we depict riding camels with the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. But then enters a new set of wise men. Look at verse 4. It says, and when, this is talking about what Herod did. Verse 4 says, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So you see, Herod had his wise men as well. Now, I'm talking about wise in a different sense. He gathered the ones that were supposed to know the answers to these questions. So who did he gather? He gathered the chief priest and the scribes. These were considered the wisest ones of that particular day. Herod had a question. He said, I'm going to go to the wise men. I'm going to ask them a question. What does it say in verse 4? He inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So verse 5 says, so they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. You know what's ironic about this? They answered the question correctly. They were smart. Now, I'm going to make a statement here, and I hope it doesn't offend anybody. But I've known some really smart people in my lifetime who were the dumbest people I've ever met in my life. Y'all know what I'm saying? I mean, intelligent, the grades, the Greek honors, and everything else didn't have enough sense God gave them to get out of the rain. You can be wise, but if you don't apply the wisdom, you're no wiser. Remember what I said as I started our message today. Knowledge is power, but if you don't apply the knowledge, it becomes useless trivia. That's what it is. You could be number one in your class as a brain surgeon, but if you never perform brain surgery, what good is it? What is the application? Let me tell you, the same holds true with knowledge concerning Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't get anything else, get this today. I believe with all of my heart that there are people all across the world today who are sitting in assemblies just like this one that are listening who have all kinds of knowledge, head knowledge about Jesus, but don't have the heart knowledge. The knowledge of the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection is in here, but it hasn't trickled down to here. You know, the shortest distance between heaven and hell is 18 inches, and people say that's the difference between your head and your heart. It's not enough to have head knowledge about who Jesus is. It's not enough to simply know about him. You have to know him. To have a relationship with him, to serve him, to follow him. You see, I believe that there are a lot of people with head knowledge who believe that they're going to find themselves in heaven today, and they're not. Oh, preacher, that's a bold statement. Yes, it is. But the Word makes a very bold statement as well when he says, not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But those who do the will of the Father. Jesus in you changes you. Do you understand that? If Jesus in you didn't change you, you better check to see whether or not Jesus is in you. Now, that doesn't make you perfect. That doesn't make you mistakeless or sinless. And the Lord knows that. But that's why there's forgiveness. That's why through repentance there's forgiveness. But that's also why, as a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will be on your back until you repent. You can't get away with it. I love the signs of the Holy Spirit in the hearts and the lives, particularly of new believers who have come back and said, "Preacher, I just don't understand it. I just feel bad about doing some of the things I do. I never used to feel bad about it. These are the things that I used to do. But now, all of a sudden, for some odd reason, I feel weird about it." And I just giggle. I say, "You know why? Because that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your life. Not somebody else." Folks, it's not our job to be judgmental over other people. I've said before, I want the worst sinners in the world to walk through that door. Now, it'd scare some of y'all to death. It would. But if some of the worst sinners walk through that door, you know what that means? They're searching for Jesus. And it's not up to me or you to change them. It is up to the Holy Spirit to do that. All I do is make an introduction. So-and-so, God. God, so-and-so. Y'all get to know each other. Now, I'll help you. That's what discipleship that so many people across the world don't want to have anything to do with is all about. Getting to know him better. A sit-down session. A tell me about yourself, Lord. And he says, no problem. I wrote a book about me. It's right here. You can read all you want to about me. I am an open book. So you see, Herod's wise men had all the right answers. They had the head knowledge. When he asked them, they didn't hesitate one single minute. Look in verse 5. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judah, for thus is written by the prophets." But you, Bethlehem, and do you get this? Verse 6, you know something interesting about verse 6? If you got a Bible that's a study Bible, or it's got a little notation in it somewhere, and it tells you to look in the center column or something like that, what you will realize is verse 6 of Matthew chapter 2 is actually Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Now, let me bring that about and what's going on. What was going on was that Herod's wise men knew the Bible really well and pointed him to the Old Testament prophecy of Micah 5:2. And it is quoted there verbatim. Did y'all's Bible show that? Is it written in italics or something? They knew the right answer. They passed the test. They got a 100% on the test when they answered Herod. Now, most of us would say, "Good job, guys, good job." You know, here's the difference. You know how far it was from where they were to Bethlehem? It's like 7 miles. Do you think they went to see the newborn Savior? No, they did not. Not Herod's wise men. The wise men, as you and I know them, the ones that had the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, they went to see him. But Herod's, the one who should have known, the ones who did know, the ones who had the answers, that gave the correct answers in verses 5 and 6, never ever sought the Savior. Now, I can tell you this. If I spent my lifetime studying about Jesus, waiting for, anticipating a Savior, and then all of a sudden I get news that it's happening, and I know it's 7 miles down the road, I'm just curious enough that I'm going to go find out. Aren't you? Don't tell me you're not. We are the nosiest people on the planet. You don't think so? How many of y'all have ever been out on a traffic jam on I-40? The rest of y'all are liars. Y'all need to repent. If you drive and you drive I-40, you've been out there. Now, you have been held up in traffic. And you have your Yosemite Sam vocabulary going. "Well, confounded, frickin' fracking, what's the world going on?" And then all of a sudden, after a 30-minute wait and just inching up slowly, what you find out is that somebody's got a flat tire on the side of the road. And everybody going by is, well, you did encounter a few more accidents because the rubberneckers ran into each other along the way. And you sat back going, if people would just mind their own business and go on. Here's a time when Herod's wise men should not have minded their own business. They should have gone and seen. That was their job. Notice what it says. Go back. What did it say? The chief priest and the scribes, these are the ones that should have been looking for Jesus. These are the ones that knew the scriptures. These are the ones that had all the right answers and completely missed him. And folks, what worries me today is I believe that there are tons of people in churches all over the world who have all of the right answers, who know all of the scriptures and they have it in their head. They have a head knowledge, but never attained a heart knowledge, and they would bust hell wide open today if they drew their last breath. Is that you? You got a lot of head knowledge. Man, you're number one on Bible trivia. The sword, remember sword drills? Where are my sword drill people? Y'all remember them? You say that to a younger generation, they go, sword drills? You know all the good stuff, but you got it here, and it's never trickled down to right here. Folks, it worries me. We've got the answers. You can fake it with the best of them. I've watched people do it. There's people that I know without any shadow of a doubt who are lost. Now, how do I know that? I didn't judge them because they told me they were. But they knew their Bible better than most Christians do. And they could win any argument because they were intelligent here and not here. They knew the right answers. They had all the right stuff. They knew the location, but they did not believe that the Lord had come. They knew the scriptures, but they did not find the Savior. They even knew that Christ would rule, but they would not let him rule them. Sound familiar? Sounds much like today. Notice that verse 6 talks about a governor shall rule my people Israel. They ain't ruling me because I ain't going. Out of sight, out of mind. I got all the answers. But you're going to fail the test. Have you applied Jesus in your life? I didn't just ask if you accepted him. It's kind of interesting that the older I get and the more I read and the passages where it says that not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. Now, I'm not preaching salvation by works because the Word tells us we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But it goes on later on in the New Testament to say that faith without works is dead. You don't do so that you can gain the gold stars with Jesus. You do because you love him and you desire to serve him. You desire to use the talents and the abilities to serve him. You desire to hang out with him. Are you hanging out with Jesus today? Are you spending time with him? I mean, really. Now, we know the story. We know how it would go. Herod got the answer from his wise men. He got the correct answer from his wise men. But you know, it was really interesting. Herod never said, I want y'all to go down there and find out and make sure it's true. Herod never even ordered them to go see. They went in and said, yep, he's born down there. See ya. I'm out. That was it. And even Herod, notice what Herod said. Go to verse 7. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. See, Herod was kind of sharp himself. What time did y'all start this journey? When did y'all leave your homeland? When did you start coming this way? See, he needed to hone in on the time of the birth. Now, I'll just go ahead and give this to you as a spoiler. A little bit further down in this particular passage, it says that when the true wise men, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh wise men found him, they found him in the house. It is believed that Christ's child was around 2 years old when that happened. Why? Because when Herod realized that the wise men didn't come back and tell him, he goes back to that verse, which says when Herod determined at what time the star appeared, he calculated it up. And that was when he ordered all the male children 2 years of age and younger to be put to death. Y'all remember that? That's where he got his time frame. Well, see, they said they saw it then, so between then and now is 2 years old. So if we kill all the male children 2 years of age and younger, that should wipe out the Savior. And oh, what's the further proof? Down there when it says in verse 11, and when they had come into the house, they saw the child. Last time we checked at the Christ's birth, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, correct? So it's believed there was about a 2 year differential between when the wise men began to follow the star and when they came into the house, into the presence of Jesus. Herod was uptight, and yet Jesus lived. He lived some 33 years to go to Calvary's cross that you and I might have eternal life. He says, y'all go. When you find him, you come back and tell me. Notice verse 9 says, and when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Remember what I said a moment ago? Evidently, they had lost track of the star because they had gone to the wrong location. They had gone to the Herod's palace, and when they left, they saw it again. You know what that tells me as well? I'll tell you what else it tells me. It tells me that the Lord's providence in our lives is going to get us where we need to be, when we need to be there, and exactly how we need to be, and exactly what time we need to be. Interesting, isn't it? It was a little detour. And when they left Herod, boom, there was the star that they had been following yet again. They're like, oh, there it is. We're back on track now. It says, and when they saw, verse 10, they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. They were back on track again. They were navigating to the right place. Then it goes in and it says, and when they had come to the house, there's that 2 year span we're talking about. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Man, aren't there some great things in regard to the Christmas story? Why did the other wise men, Herod's wise men, why did the other wise men not hurry to Bethlehem to find Christ? You know why? For the same reason that people will sit in a church and hear sermon after sermon, they will hear family member after family member share the plan of salvation, and yet will still walk away lost. You and I would sit back and say, that is the most absurd thing that I have ever heard in my life. Folks, let me tell you, life can change really fast. Some of you know that better than I do. But let me tell you, a couple weeks ago, I didn't know whether I'd ever be here again. I didn't know if I would have a chance to preach yet another sermon. You don't take things for granted like that anymore, you know? Today's a good day, because I get to run my mouth for the Lord one more time at least. May not be a good day for you, it's a good day for me. When you come close to not being able to do, listen, some people step out into eternity just like that. People's lives change just like that. Are you ready? You know, the sadder times in a pastor's life is when you have to bury people that you know and love. And we've had to do that around here a lot in the last couple years. I had to do that this past week as we remember the Larry Brazil family in our prayers. I thought, you know what? Larry never expected that. He never expected to, you know, get sick and then the next thing you know, be in the arms of the Savior. So many people never expect it's just like that, and then you're gone. What have you left undone? Have you left the main thing undone? Have you left receiving Jesus Christ and serving Him undone? Why was it that Herod's guys didn't go down? Herod's wife, why didn't they go down there? You know, well, they may have feared that they would lose favor with Herod. How many of us are allowing what somebody else might think to dictate what we do? It's a lot more than you think. How come the other wise men, Herod's wise men, how come they didn't go? They may have quickly fallen back into old routines. You know how easy that is? We are routine people, aren't we? We like routine. We will lose our cotton-picking mind if we don't have the right routine. Oh, I'm just all out of kilter. It's so easy to fall back into the rut, the ditch that's a grave opened up on both ends. Maybe that's what they did. Why did Herod's wise men not hurry down to Bethlehem? They may have thought that the risk was too great if the rumor was false. They weren't willing to take a chance. They weren't willing to risk having faith that what they had spent their lives reading and discussing was actually true. I think that it bothers me today because I think there are so many church people who are in the same boat as Herod's wise men. You got it up here, but it hadn't gotten to here. Some of the most amazing things in my life and in my ministry has been having the opportunity to lead somebody to Jesus who had served Him their whole life. And when they made a public profession of faith, people went, but man, we thought I trusted Jesus in your Sunday school class. You were teaching me. And yet you were lost? Yep. Oh, the Lord can use anybody He wants to. Your salvation is not dependent upon somebody else. I mean, how many times throughout the Word did the Lord even use evil and evil people to accomplish His will? Remember when it said in the New Testament, and I'm paraphrasing here, remember there was a time in the New Testament when the disciples were saying, Lord, you know them guys over there, they're preaching, but man, they're not preaching for the right reasons. They're not doing this for the right reason. They're not doing that for you. They're doing that for monetary gain and everything else. And the disciples were kind of like, aren't you going to go over there and just like throttle them, slam them down or something? Jesus said, no, I'm going to let them preach. And they're like, what? Well, why? Because the Word does not return void. Period. This Word does not return void. Regardless of the heart or the intent of the speaker, the Holy Spirit can still make it what it should be in your life. That's why I'm thankful to God that it is not dependent upon me. It's not. But the Holy Spirit has shown up today. What will you say to Him? He has said to you, are you truly born again? Have you truly trusted the Savior who was born because there was no room in the inn? Little manger. Have you trusted in that? That's Christmas. That's what Christmas is really all about. I'm not asking you if you've been to church. You hear me say this all the time. I'm asking you to look deep into your heart today, to listen to the Holy Spirit, to see whether salvation is truly there. See, that's what's important to me. Because if I have to do your funeral next week, I want to be able to stand just like I did at Larry's and say, look, you know what? This is not goodbye. This is I'll see you later. I know where he is. I said, his vacation's over with. He's back with Judy. That was funny, y'all. But he's with the Savior. Do you know that? 100%. Not 99%, 100% for sure. Today's the day to make it right with him. And may this be the best Christmas ever as we celebrate the Savior. I'm going to ask our musicians, if they would, to take their place as we enter this time of invitation. What is the invitation? The invitation is not mine. The invitation was set long ago when Jesus said, whosoever will come to him. There's a whole lot of alls in there. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Any man who calls upon him shall be saved. What is John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you truly believed in him? Because see, when you believe him, remember what I said, Jesus in you changes you. Are you like the Lord's wise men, the Magi, or are you like Herod's wise men? Do you have a heart knowledge like the Magi we read about, or do you have a head knowledge like Herod's wise men? Let me make you a promise. Head knowledge will get you straight to the pits of hell. Only heart knowledge will get you to the kingdom. Which do you have? Listen, just a moment as we begin our invitation time, it's simple. I've said that, you know, I don't hold anybody hostage to that. If that's you, whether you're part of our online audience, whether you're here right now, you can bow your head in prayer in your heart and you can confess before the Lord, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I believe what Jesus did on Calvary's cross saved my soul. And he will. Will you do that? Listen, if you want me, hey, listen, we want to celebrate with you. If you've trusted Christ, let us know. If you're part of our online audience, let Dr. Cazito know. We want to celebrate with you. We're not going to come after you and do goofy things, not do anything outside of your will, but we want to cheer you on. We want to celebrate. We want to party. We want to rub it in the devil's face. Plain and simple. And we want to help you get your journey started. Will you do that? Have you trusted Christ? Listen, I'll be here if you need to talk to me. I've said before, this is a good old-fashioned altar. If you need it for a few moments during our invitation, it's always here. Lord's great at cleaning that altar up. What is it that you need to make right with him today before you leave this place that you can truly leave with the joy in your life? Whatever that is, you take care of it with the Lord. As we stand, as we sing our invitation hymn, number 312, Softly and Tenderly. Heads are bowed, as your eyes are closed, as you continue to do business with God, softly and tenderly. He truly is calling to you. What will your answer to Him be today? Will you surrender to Him, whatever it may be? This might be the most important decision you have ever in your life, ever, ever, ever made. Make the right one. We're begging you to do that. As we continue our invitation, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering. To continue to worship you by returning to you the tithe and the offering that you have blessed each and every one of us so graciously with. Lord, may we truly be found faithful as in doing so, that your work may continue and that, Lord, people may continue to come to know you, missionaries would be supported, and all the things that you have called our church to be a part of. Lord, may they be fulfilled through our faithfulness and giving. Lord, we pray that not only would you bless the gift, but Lord, that you would bless the giver in ways that only you can. For Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jim and Wind Ensemble. Listen, just a couple quick things. Before we get out of here, and don't forget, we do have business meeting coming up. What time do you want to strike that up, David?
12:15 sharp.
We're going to strike that up. That'll give you time to go take care of some things. We have some important things that are coming up in this particular business meeting. We will be voting on our next year's budget. We will be voting on a contract, and then also as well as some dispositions from finance. They have a couple of things to bring before us. If you remember, we recently moved our monthly Sunday night business meeting to a quarterly Sunday morning business meeting. This would be the first one for that. So we invite you, if you're a member, to be able to stay, vote with us. If you're not, you'll be free to go after we pray. But just a couple of things to let you know. Birthdays this week. Our very own Tim Wharf has a birthday coming up this Thursday. And Leonard Stafford on Friday. So be sure to give them hugs. Yeah, give them a hand. We'll celebrate with them along the way. What a joy it is to be in those guys' lives. Also, don't forget, choir practice is tonight, 5 o'clock. 6 o'clock is the performance, no practice. Okay, because I didn't know if we was going through it beforehand, but six o'clock. Come on back. The choir will be doing, I'll call it a mini cantata. So y'all come on back. I think you'll really enjoy that. That'll be our 6 o'clock service. No Awana tonight and no Sunday Bible study because we're actually going to be having a program. So be here 6 o'clock. Don't forget, each Wednesday at 10 a.m., the men's fellowship breakfast is at the Olympic Restaurant in Colfax. Come be a part of that. What a blessing that's been to so many people as we continue to hear great things about that. Also, after the tonight's concert, there'll actually be a time of fellowship over in the fellowship hall over there. We'd love for you to come join us for that as well, just to take an opportunity to get to know one another. Us Baptist fellowship really good and on time and on target. Once again, as a reminder, this coming Saturday, which is Christmas Eve, we will have our Christmas Eve communion. We'll do one at 6 o'clock. We will do one at 6:30. It is just a come as you are, quick communion, literally probably, 5 to 10 minutes. That's all it takes, but it's a time for us to pause during the season to remember why we truly celebrate the Christmas season. And then we will be having worship services on Christmas Day at 10:45, our regular service time. We will not be having Sunday school that day. Do you have anything, David, or you want me to?
Go ahead. You got it.
Okay. Just because we've got about 10 minutes before we will begin our church conference with our moderator, David Bowman, let me go ahead and lead you in a word of prayer, and then you can take care of business and be back in here with us. All right, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this opportunity once again to gather in your house. Lord, may we never take for granted the joy of being able to serve you with others, our family members, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we pray that everything we do will magnify you. And Lord, we pray tonight, for the choir as they present, that it's not just a presentation, because that's not what it's about, but Lord, that it may touch the hearts and the lives of each and every person who shows up to hear your word in song. Lord, we pray that you'll be with us as we prepare to do business, as your word tells us, may it be done decent and in order and in a way that magnifies you. Be with those who will present during that time, that we, Father, would be instruments in your hand for this upcoming year. As we pray this in Christ's name, amen. All right, folks, I'll see you in about 10 minutes.